You've heard that saying, life wasn't meant to be easy. We all have, and here's the thing. When you hear it, it can be quite, well, discouraging. Why? Well, A, because we know it's true, and B, because as you look at your life, your today, your tomorrow, well, it's just not a very encouraging thought now, is it? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today I have some great news for you as we head into this final message of the series Jesus Speaks, Jesus Heals, to lay hold of the healing power of Jesus. And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be sharing something truly special with you to help you live in victory on those days when the daily grind of life just seems to be, well, grinding away at you more than it should be. Well, yeah, life wasn't meant to be easy. How many times have you heard that and thought to yourself, ain't that just the truth? The times in my life when everything's been going my way, everything has been going swimmingly well, everything has just been hunky-dory and tickety-boo, let me tell you, have been very few and far between. I'm talking everything, every part of my life. Now, don't get me wrong. I haven't had a bad life. I love everything I'm involved in, and I'm blessed with a wonderful wife and great kids. I'm safe. I'm provided for by God. But there's always something, isn't there? One thing that seems to rob us of our peace and our joy. I'm sure it's the same with you too. I'm praying that there have been some truly awesome times in your life. But probably at the moment, there's just something out there, a person, a relationship, some work situation, maybe a health issue or a family issue or a finance issue, something that's taking the shine off things. And then add to that, God seems to demand things of you a lot of the time that you don't want to do or to give. Have you noticed that? He can be a tad pesky that way if we're listening to him at all. We all have that one sin in our lives that seems to be our Achilles heel, our particular weakness, the one thing that he wants us to give up and we struggle to obey. Yeah, there's always something. Surely if God loves us, he'd want to make it just a bit easier for us than what it is. Last week on the program, we talked about the idea of God as a sugar daddy who showers you constantly with gifts and blessings and affirmations. Surely if God loves you, isn't that how he'd treat you? I mean, surely. If believing in Jesus is about grace, the free, unmerited favor of God, that's how it should be, right? And then you remember that universal truth, life wasn't meant to be easy. How do you reconcile those two, the empirical, real-life evidence of the struggles you're going through on the one hand, and the apparent biblical truth that God loves you and wants to bless you, something you want to believe, by the way, with all your heart? Well, the honest truth is that a lot of people don't reconcile the two. They can't understand how those two realities, our struggles and God's goodness, can coexist. Maybe if you're living on Struggle Street at the moment, or perhaps you're just taking a short trip down Struggle Lane, I want to see the words of Jesus bring some powerful healing into your heart right now. So have a listen to what Jesus has to say. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. I know what you're thinking. Jeez Louise, Bernie, all that is bad news. All that is Jesus telling us that life wasn't meant to be easy. What's the good of that? Am I right? Well, the first step to healing, the first step to discovering God's real blessings in your life is accepting the reality. And the reality is that following Jesus isn't easy. It's countercultural. The world wants you to follow them down that nice, gentle, wide, well-paved road to destruction. Sure, believe in all the perversions that people are now saying are normal, equal, and free. Sure, be selfish. Sure, live for yourself. But Jesus is calling you to go 180 degrees in the opposite direction. He's calling you to swim against the tide, to be ridiculed, to lose things because you do the right thing. What for? for the prize, of course. Or did you miss what Jesus said about the prize on the other side of that narrow gate at the end of that hard road? Where does it lead? It leads to life, and there are few who find it. Remember, this is Jesus who just a few verses before in this same chapter said to you, "Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for bread, will give you a stone, or if the child asks for a fish, will give you a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Blessing. The blessing of God, the good things of God come right smack bang in the middle of the tough journey. The problem is all too often, we think that the blessing of God is the removing of suffering and replacing it with gifts and presents and all sorts of goodies. Well, okay, sometimes that happens. Sometimes that's God's will. But more often than not, the good things that he wants for us are to grow our character, to make us more humble, to help us to learn to serve people who don't deserve it, to discover our lives in Christ in a way that we never imagined possible. Let me tell you, some of the greatest blessings that I've experienced in my life have come in the darkest times. They had nothing to do with changing my circumstances, but everything to do with changing me. Get a grip. Get a revelation today. Life wasn't meant to be a cakewalk. Life wasn't meant to be one great big party. Following Jesus is hard some days. In fact, following Jesus is hard most days. Will you follow him anyway? Following Jesus means losing things. Losing the world's approval, the money we might have earned, the comfort we might have had. Will you follow him anyway? Because when we live our lives like that, in the knowledge of the trials but experiencing his blessings, hey, that's the place of healing. That's the place where we find our lives. That's the place we experience a joy and a freedom and a sense of fulfillment that we never, ever, ever thought was possible. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Hey, life can be hard work some days, and as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory over our sin, over our circumstances. Victory. That's why every video message that we produce here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. The daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching messages, and even some in-the-moment, close-to-the-action videos that I shoot every now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at christianityworks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move through even just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. After all, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen. So I'd love to encourage you too to live your life in victory. Again, the web address of our YouTube channel is christianityworks.tv. Now let's head straight back into the Word of God, because honestly, he's always up to something good in our lives. You know the problem with me sitting here and chatting with you and a stack of other people about self-delusion? Well, none of us believes that we suffer from the problem. That's the delusion. But before you change channels, just humour me for a moment. Before we start with the disease, let's just go to some of the symptoms and see if you can identify them in your life. Here are some of the symptoms of self-delusion. The really big one is you keep telling yourself it's all okay, but deep down, you have a nagging suspicion that it's not. People criticise you and you don't want to hear, even though in your heart of hearts, you're afraid they might have a point. You've set your life on a certain course towards success, and each time you hit a milestone of success, after an initial flurry, it somehow seems hollow. You're longing for something, but you just can't put a finger on what that something is. You've tried a lot of things, but nothing ends up delivering that one something that you're becoming increasingly desperate to find. My hunch is that there are more than a few people listening to this thinking to themselves, hang on, How does Bernie know that about me? Well, quite simply, they're the primary symptoms of self-delusion, and they're symptoms that I'm all too well acquainted with, being, as I am, a recovering self-delusionist, if there is such a word. And I reckon that the biggest bit of self-delusion that many of us carry on with is that we're disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, that may sound just a tad confronting, and if it is, know that it's meant to be. Not because I'm trying to be some self-righteous preacher telling you that I have it all right and you don't, but because I'm a fellow sinner travelling on a not dissimilar road to yours who has had the privilege of having Jesus speak into my heart about this very thing. Confronting? Yeah, you betcha. So what does Jesus have to say about your self-delusion and mine? Does he have anything there, any wisdom, any healing, any power to set us free so that we can finally find that something that we've been searching for all this time? Matthew chapter 7, verses 21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Yeah, I told you this was confronting. Jesus often is. He doesn't mamby-pamby around. He tells it the way it is. I know. We want to think of this Jesus as some nice, soft, warm, cuddly, fluffy toy that we can cuddle so we can feel better. Does Jesus love you? Of course he does. But his love is often a tough love, a love that cuts through our self-delusions in an instant. And here, he's pointing out that it's not what we say that demonstrates our faith to him, but what we do. Now, let's get this straight. You and I, if we believe in Jesus, are saved by grace. It's a free gift from him. It's not about what we do, it's about what he's done. But at the same time, our works, what we end up doing with our lives, whether we obey him or not, those works and deeds are the evidence of our faith in him or not. So right here, what he's saying to you and to me is stop kidding yourself. If you're saying one thing and doing another, no, you are not my disciple. And when it comes to the day of judgment, I'll be looking for the evidence of your faith. Ouch. There are some people who want to shoot me at this, but please remember, I'm just the messenger. Those are Jesus' words and not mine. In fact, he goes on, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24-29. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and how great was its fall. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. What an amazing picture he paints here, a picture that's meant to show you and me how shocking our self-delusion really is, a picture that encourages us, woos us to build our house on solid ground. The point of listening to Jesus and his amazing wisdom isn't to participate in some interesting intellectual exercise or to be entertained or to have a theory lesson. The point of listening to Jesus is to drink in the power of his word and be transformed. Because when you and I take his word into our hearts, when we recognize the power and the authority with which he speaks, as those people did who were listening to him, when we let that power loose in our hearts, let me tell you, there is going to be some serious healing and transformation that starts to happen. Before we can change what we do, we need to have a change of heart. Are you a heart surgeon? No, me neither. I, like you, need some serious help. Well, Jesus speaks, Jesus heals. That's the name of this series, and that is what is ready and waiting to happen if you receive the word of Christ today and allow it to dwell richly in you. Come on, are you deluding yourself? Sure you are. We all are to some extent. The songs we sing on Sundays, the sermons we hear and nod at and say amens and hallelujahs to, so often are a million miles away from the reality of how we live. And the only person who can change how you live, the only person with the power and the wisdom and the love and the care that can transform how you live is not you. It's Jesus. So where will you build your house? I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I think pretty much everybody on earth has at least one or two difficult relationships, tense relationships. And let me tell you, God wants to bring healing and restoration to those relationships. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest life application booklet. It's called Dealing with Difficult People. And with the questions at the end of each chapter, you'll be able to chew things over to apply God's word right into the realities of your life. Because his word is alive and active, amen? So I'm praying that God will speak his love into your difficult relationships through this book. You can request your free copy at christianityworks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is christianityworks.com. Now, let's head back into God's Word. Who needs miracles? I think we all do. So what is a miracle? Well, my dictionary tells me that it's an extraordinary and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore attributed to a divine agency. Sounds pretty much right. Although, you know, we've been talking about the miracle of a transformed life over the last few weeks on the program. The sorts of miracles that happen when Jesus speaks into our lives and we accept his word into our hearts, and he does things in us that we could never ever have done for ourselves. That's why this series has been called Jesus Speaks, Jesus Heals. And you can listen to all the messages online right now at christianityworks.com. To me, it's a blooming miracle to see how God has dealt with my pride and my anger and how he keeps dealing with those things. And I can honestly say that the transformation has happened because I've spent time most days in God's Word, the Bible. And somehow, as I've received his word into my heart, he's worked it out in me through the trials and the tribulations and the challenges and the temptations that have met me around the next corner or over the next rise. Without God's word each day, they would have just been trials and tribulations and challenges and temptations without learning, without transformation, without growth. In fact, probably they would have just made me more bitter and with a harder heart. I just think that God is so ready, so willing, so able to perform major miracles in our lives through his Spirit and his Word, yet so many people who believe in Jesus don't read his Word, don't receive his Word, don't bother with his Word. Or they pick and choose. Yeah, look, I like this bit, but that bit, well, not sleeping together before we're married, that bit about forgiving that guy over there, that bit about being humble, nah, don't like those bits. And then we wonder why our lives are a mess. I really encourage you to have a listen to or read of other messages in this series about the amazing miracles that happen when Jesus speaks and Jesus heals. But right now, as our time in this series comes to an end, I want to spend a bit of time in Matthew chapter 8, which is cram-packed full of the spectacular, supernatural miracles that so many people crave. We don't have time to look at them all, so let's just have a listen to the first one. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and there was a leper who came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hands, touched the man, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." A leper, imagine, one of the outcasts of society. They weren't allowed to live inside the city walls. They had to live outside the city without its protection of community. They couldn't go to the temple or the synagogue the way others did. They couldn't spend any time with their families. They were the least of the least. If anyone came within 30 feet of them, they had to shout, "Unclean, unclean." How humiliating, how demeaning. They were less than human. And a leper, of all people, a leper dares to approach Jesus. As a leper, he was forbidden from doing that. And he dares to say to this miracle-working Jesus, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Have you ever felt like the least of the least before God? Sure you have. So have I. You feel completely unworthy. The stench of your sin in the nostrils of God, no different to the stench of that leper's pus-filled sores and the unwashed body. And still, he comes to Jesus with the temerity to say, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." The response of any other religious leader of the day would have been to send him packing to withdraw, lest he should too catch this disease. The response of Jesus, on the other hand, was to reach out and touch him. Can you imagine what that felt like for the leper? To reach out and touch him and make him clean. Immediately, we're told, the leprosy left him. The leper says, "Lord, if you choose." And Jesus responds, "I do choose. I do choose." And with a healing touch. Of all the miracles in the Bible, this is my favourite one. Because all too often, I have been that leper, wondering whether to come before Jesus. And whenever I doubt, I come back to this passage of Scripture because I realise the depth of the love that Jesus has for me. The depth of the love that Jesus has for you. All we need is a mustard seed of faith. Like the next guy, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible distress." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and cure him." But the centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to the other, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed, and he said to all those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed that very hour. I've read the four Gospels front to back and back to front dozens of times. And I am here to tell you that Jesus never, ever, ever criticized someone for placing too much faith in him. In fact, the exact opposite is true. He was amazed at this man's faith. I don't know why Jesus chooses to perform spectacular miracles in some people's lives and not in others. But I choose to believe him for miracles in my life because I know that he comes to little people like you and me and the leper and the centurion and a whole bunch of other people, and just at the right time, he intervenes supernaturally in our lives. What I do know, though, is that a lack of faith in him is a 100% guarantee to blocking any miracles he was planning on doing. See, that's exactly what happened in his hometown of Nazareth, Mark chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honour, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own houses." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. See, with the centurion, he was amazed at the man's faith, especially since he wasn't a Jew but a Roman. But with God's own people, in fact, with the very people with whom he grew up, with those people, Jesus wasn't amazed by their faith. He was amazed by their unbelief. So here's what I'm thinking. I would much rather have Jesus be amazed by my faith rather than by my lack of it. How about you? Where, when, how Jesus chooses to miraculously and powerfully intervene in your life, I can't tell you, but this I can. When Jesus speaks, Jesus heals. His word has the power to change your life in the most amazing, unpredictable ways. The choice for you, as it is for me, is will you hear his word and accept it into your heart as being his powerful truth for you? And will you put so much faith in him that he will be amazed at your faith? Or will you be like the people of Nazareth and leave him stunned by your lack of faith? Want healing? Want power? Want transformation in your life? Then the answer, the only answer, is Jesus. Here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus in a rich, dynamic relationship with Him. So if you'd like to go even deeper, then let me encourage you to stop by and explore ChristianityWorks.com, where you'll find a wealth of messages on all sorts of different subjects straight out of God's Word, and conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. There's so much there for you. Your free subscription to our daily fresh devotional, so you can receive a powerful scripture and some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement each day by subscribing to Fresh. And remember, we would love to pray for you. Just click on the powerful prayer icon towards the bottom of the homepage. Everything at ChristianityWorks.com is free, including that e-booklet I mentioned earlier. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life to help you be all He made you to be. So go on, head across to ChristianityWorks.com and be blessed. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.